Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
Show the world.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Football Friday, maybe the last Football Friday of the year if you believe the Super Bowl is not at all football. And some people do believe the Super Bowl is not at all football. This might be it, the last Football Friday of the season.
But we're not there. The Super Bowl's still football on this show, right?
Well, I know. I'm just mixed. I'm just making a point. That's all.
Well, but we were on a run of really great Super Bowls. It felt like for 15 years, the last two have not been particularly memorable.
That's a very good point.
That is true.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Last year was awful.
The year before was worse. The Rams-Patriots?
That was a really bad
Super
Bowl. No, that was
49ers-Chiefs was before that.
That was, yeah. Okay.
See how memorable that one was?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Three in a row that weren't that memorable.
Wow. Yeah, Rams-Patriots was not great either.
No, that was a dreadful
You know
game.
What? This was the last Football Friday of the year.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. So just emotionally it might
before
be.
Before the stupid bowl.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And with all these opening vacancies in the NFL, head coaching vacancies, Jeff Fisher just got a job, folks.
Yes, he did.
Wow.
The Michigan Panthers of the USFL.
Wow.
Yeah.
So many jokes.
Boy, they have some crazy coaches.
They do.
In that league.
Yeah, Todd Haley's in that league.
Yeah.
Kevin Sumlin. Mike Riley.
Right there.
Kirby Wilson.
The jokes
is there anybody else? No, that's...
Everybody was like, I guess the Michigan Panthers are going to go 8-8.
8-8, yeah, right, of course.
They don't play that many games.
No, they don't. They're probably going to go 3-3, Vinny,
yeah, and then,
before the league folds. That's right. That's what it would be.
How dare you say that about the USFL? Yeah. It's got to be different from the AAF and the XFL.
Yeah, it really
I know
does.
What I'm doing.
Yes, right. Yes, you do, right?
Did you see, as well, their first game is going to be simulcast on two of the major networks?
I did not know that.
I think I read it's the first time a professional football game will be simulcast on two separate networks with separate telecasts since the first Super Bowl.
Wow. Did anybody from the Houston Gamblers franchise ever call anybody in Tucson before hiring Kevin Sumlin?
I mean, clearly not.
Clearly not.
I mean, the reception's not great in Tucson, let me be honest.
Upgrade your phone.
He doesn't have to recruit.
No, but he does have
does
to coach.
Have to coach?
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
Does he do practices?
I think you guys are in for a rude awakening. I think someone's going to turn that gambler's program around.
Oh, yeah. Sure he is. Yeah.
Jack Pardee left it 35 years ago.
Yeah, my money's on the Tampa Bay Bandits, man. Todd Haley. I'm going to get a T-shirt. Start the show,
good
Ferret.
Logo.
Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Phoenix Suns going for win number 9 in a row tonight. They welcome the Timberwolves to Footprint Center, second meeting between the two teams. All the way back in mid-November, the Suns beat the T-Wolves in Minnesota 99-96. Still no DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder campaign, or JaVale McGee. Wolves come in at 24-24 on the season. They lost last night to Golden State in San Francisco. Tonight's game will tip up at 7 o'clock. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30 here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The story around the Suns garnering a lot more reaction is the fact that they will not have an all-star starter.
Yeah.
The starters were released for the All-Star game coming up next month in Cleveland for the West. LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, Steph Curry, Ja Morant, and Andrew Wiggins. In the East, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, Trae Young, and DeMar DeRozan, 18th through the 20th of February in Cleveland is All-Star Weekend.
Now, keep in mind, everybody, this is voted on by fans. Starting lineup, voted on by fans.
Well, that's one,
50%.
Okay.
There's two other
elements. I thought it was 75%. It's 50%?
Media and then the players vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 50, 25, and 25.
It still holds a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of very upset Suns fans. And my reaction to it, Bick, and we'll elaborate on this later, was, were you expecting something different?
No, you're right. That's exactly, this is not, should not be a shock at all. Yeah, and you know what? The Miami Heat are first in the East. They don't have an All-Star game starter either. So, there you go.
Why can't they get Max Strus in there, for goodness sakes?
Tyler Hero.
Duncan Robinson.
Right.
Bam Adebayo, Butler,
Udonis Haslam.
He's still playing. Last night in the NBA, we mentioned the Warriors' 124-115 win over Minnesota. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson combined for 52 points, 11 of 19 on threes. Golden State hit 21 from behind the arc. And in the game before that, the Philadelphia 76ers pounded the LeBron-less Lakers, 105-87. Joel Embiid, 26 points. Anthony Davis in his second game back from injury. He got hurt again. He went to the bench. They looked at it. He played through it. And he had 31 points.
Nice. Your hate for that man knows no bounds.
I don't hate him. I spit facts, Dan Bickley. That's all I do.
That's what you do.
He gets hurt a lot.
Yes, he does.
NFL Championship weekend is upon us. Sunday, the Chiefs will host the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC title game. It's the fourth straight year the game will be at Arrowhead. First time that's ever happened in the history of the NFL. Chiefs have gone 2-1 in the previous three. Cincinnati making their first appearance with a shot at the Super Bowl since 1989. These two teams met in Cincinnati in Week 17. The Bengals won by three. Kansas City's only loss since Week 7. That game gets underway at 1 o'clock. Then it's the NFC Championship. San Francisco visiting the LA Rams. Puke. At SoFi Stadium. 49ers won both games this year and have beaten the Rams six straight times. But Kyle Shanahan is not in Sean McVay's head. Just ask Sean McVay. Rams are favored.
I understand why you just threw in that little puke, but I'm actually very excited to see that football game.
Oh, I am too. But I'm not. I could be excited and nauseous at the same time.
Can you really? You can do both of that?
Just ask a magnet woman.
That's the line of the week. Shut down the kebab. Not doing it today.
Coaches being hired around the NFL. Denver Broncos have hired Nathaniel Hackett as their new sideline boss. The Bears tapped Matt Eberflus to take over for Matt Nagy.
Bless you.
their strategy of only hiring coaches named Matt is a curious one.
GM's named Brian. Yeah, right.
Meanwhile, reports out of Dallas say that Mike McCarthy has been informed he will return for 2022 after their disappointing exit from the playoffs. And from Miami, Ian Rappaport reporting yesterday that Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator of the Cardinals, not a finalist for the Miami job.
That's interesting, is it not?
It is.
Yeah. So, and again, you can be selfish about it and say that's a good thing for the Arizona Cardinals. You hate to wish ill on a guy who's looking for a head coaching job, but stability with this football team would not be a bad thing.
Hey, there's still seven jobs open as of today.
That is true.
You never know what could happen.
That is true.
Coyotes return home to face the Boston Bruins tonight at Gila River Arena, back from a 1-3 Eastern road trip. Face-off 7 o'clock. ESPN 620 AM and 98.7 FM HD2 is where you can hear it. Pregame coverage starts at 6:30. According to a report that surfaced from Craig Morgan of PHNX Sports yesterday, the Coyotes in advanced talks with Arizona State University about using the school's new multi-purpose arena as a temporary home in light of their venue issues in Glendale and moving into the future. No permanent solution right now. ASU's arena is supposed to open up in the fall, a seating capacity of 5,000.
Yeah. If there's ever a book written on the Coyotes, that will be the title, Venue Issues. we're going to get into this today. We're going to actually talk about this story today and whether or not it is actually feasible, plausible, all of that stuff.
ASU Hoops travels to Tucson to face third-ranked Arizona tomorrow. First of two meetings between the teams. Devils have lost two straight, but they will have Bobby Hurley back on the sidelines following his suspension. Jay Heath will be back as well. They were both suspended following a confrontation with officials after a game last weekend at Stanford. Wildcats coming off just their second loss of the year when they fell to UCLA earlier this week at Pauley Pavilion. 12:30 tip. Pregame coverage starts here at 98.7 FM at 12 o'clock. CBS has the national television broadcast. GCU's got New Mexico State in Las Cruces tomorrow, a 7 o'clock game. United States men's national soccer team defeated El Salvador 1-0 in Columbus in World Cup qualifying. That's the ninth of 14 cup qualifiers for the Americans, who right now second behind Canada and a point ahead of Mexico with five matches to play for each side. Canada,
all right,
blanked,
let's go USMNT, baby.
Canada blanked Honduras 2-0, and Mexico topped Jamaica 2-1. And Rafael Nadal beat Matteo Berrettini to advance to the finals of the Australian Open. Nadal playing for his second title down under, first since 2009.
Yeah, great finals matchup.
Yes, he'll take on second-seeded Daniil Medvedev, who ousted fourth-seeded Stefanos Tsitsipas in four sets.
That's a mouthful right there.
What? It is.
What?
I can't get over the state of men's tennis. That these guys... So Djokovic finally gets like kicked out, so he's not a factor. Uh-huh. And Nadal, who is years past being washed up, is still probably going to win.
Well, first
it's like
of all,
those same three guys
up.
Just keep
he's
winning.
Not, no, but see, but you're wrong
but
in that
But he should
premise.
Be.
Now, that is true. Now, is that
like the 49ers their, should have been dead?
Yes.
These guys in their mid-30s, late-30s, 40s.
You're absolutely right. They do not have the mental capabilities to beat those guys. You're absolutely right, and they should be ashamed of themselves. There was a whole era of professional golfers who cowered if Tiger Woods was on the same golf course as them. It's the same thing. Same thing.
I think it's a good story.
Yeah. I'm,
anyway. And the Australian
go Rafa.
Open probably needed this with no Federer
yeah,
and no
any,
Djokovic
we just
this year.
Don't. I just don't want Novak Djokovic owning that most Grand Slams of all time record. So let's go Rafa.
Yeah, what's he going for, 21?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. There's your splash for Friday, January 28th. Coming up next, news flash. The Phoenix Suns don't have an all-star starter. Let the reaction flow in. We'll give you ours next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta.
Bickley and Marotta Mornings.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
When he's in a groove like that, I think our team feeds off of it. And what he's done lately, you know, I just kind of laugh at the voting numbers when I see it at the bottom of the ticker. And so many guys are getting so many more votes than him. It's laughable. When you look at what he's done, not just of late, but all season long, and the wins we have, you know, he should be a starter on the All-Star team. And tonight was one of those games where I think he proved that point.
It's Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns earlier this week, before the starters were announced for the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference yesterday, that he thinks it's laughable that Devin Booker doesn't get more support from fans around the league. I know when the starting fives were announced yesterday, Bick, there was a lot of reaction locally about kind of echoing what Monty Williams said about Devin Booker. I am not one bit surprised at this at all.
No. No.
And people will point at a couple of the starters in the West. Look, Andrew Wiggins getting to start, he's arguably the fourth or fifth best player on his own team.
Yeah.
He is a product of playing for the most popular team globally in basketball in the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
Ja Morant breaks through as a point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies in his third year in the league.
He definitely deserves it.
I don't have a problem with it either.
He definitely deserves it.
But this is where, like, I've kind of moved on from the Phoenix Suns and their perceived lack of respect from the national media. Because there's bigger fish to fry, ultimately, for the Suns, and that's winning a title. The national media can't ignore you if you do that. But Devin Booker and Chris Paul, for that matter, is also having an all-star caliber season. That's where it comes into play. When the ESPNs of the world and the national networks of the world turned a blind eye in their coverage to the Phoenix Suns, this is where it affects the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I think you also have to be a spectacular MVP caliber player for a number of years in Phoenix, Arizona, to get starters' votes the way things are currently constructed.
Yeah. If this was about equity, this would be a debacle. If this were a vote of peers in the NBA, you'd have every reason to feel snubbed. This is nothing more than a giant flex from the Warriors fan base, is what it is. And so it might make you angry. It kind of makes me angry because, as you pointed out, Andrew Wiggins, while having a good year,
he's okay.
He doesn't have anywhere near the case that a Devin Booker has, that a Chris Paul has, that a Donovan Mitchell has. He doesn't have any of this stuff. But these are the rules that are applied to All-Star Game starters. I wish there was a better level of transparency about how these who is that, exactly where these votes are coming from, so people don't misconstrue what's going on here, because there are a lot of people, like myself included, I cover the sport, and I thought it was 75% fan. I wasn't even aware of the rules.
The fan vote has way too much weight.
Way too much.
Any weight might be too much.
So if Klay Thompson, and Devin Booker still trail Klay Thompson in fan voting, that is absurd. Klay Thompson has played what, 10 games?
The fan voting for guards fan rank, Curry 1, Morant 2, Luka 3, Klay Thompson 4, Devin Booker 5. I don't even know who was 6th.
Yeah.
Because they weren't in the top 10. Chris Paul was 7th. The player rank, Booker was 3rd behind Curry and Morant. Chris Paul was 5th. The media rank, this is interesting too, Curry 1, Morant 2, Chris Paul 3, mm-hmm. Devin Booker 4.
See, now that's accurate to me. That feels right to me. Because we touched on this yesterday. If you were going to ask me who is the most valuable son at this point in time, Chris Paul's got a slight edge over Devin Booker. But I also believe making an All-Star game is more important to Devin Booker right now than it is Chris Paul.
Yes, absolutely. But again, and now let's go to style of play.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns' backcourt, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, both get applauded, and with good reason, as, you know, masters of the mid-range game, which is kind of a lost art in the NBA right now. One of the reasons why I believe Ja Morant breaks through as a point guard in Memphis, yes, the numbers are good. Memphis is a really good team. Those are two big factors. Style of play. If Ja Morant was putting up the same exact numbers, but his game was suited around excelling in the pick and roll and knocking down 15-foot jumpers, nobody would vote for Ja Morant nationally. He's always on the highlights because he's an explosive athlete. And that's just the reality of the situation. Mid-range jumpers win games. They don't win all-star votes. So is it a big deal? No. I mean, if Devin Booker continues to be the centerpiece of a team that's competing for championships every year, the starter recognition will come. It's just not there right now.
No. Okay. No, it's not. And neither is the fan base. That I do think it's growing. I think last year went a long way into converting basketball fans into Suns fans. I really honestly believe that. But I think when you talk about the Golden State Warriors, that's a different animal entirely. And
they're like 8 years into this thing.
And so it's a little embarrassing in that regard. But at the same time, it's a giant flex for their fan base. They get to go, look at the way we tilted that voting. We rule.
Don't you think, though, that you're saying that the fans shouldn't have any say or they have too much say? Don't you think all that really matters is the fans? Because it's not a real game. It's a game just for the fans.
Well, yes. You can make that argument, but then make it all the fans. Otherwise, you start folding this into a player's career as a narrative, and that's not fair either.
Well, like baseball.
Oh, Devin Booker's never started an All-Star game. Well, what's the matter with him?
It is weird, though, because baseball is 100% of the fans for the starters, and people don't like that either. That's
a lot of nonsense as well.
But see, the end of the season, they do the All-NBA stuff. That's the one that actually matters. That matters
financially now, which is a little bit silly.
And the fans don't have anything to do with.
No. And the truth of the matter is, if you were going to build this All-Star team based on positions, Devin Booker's not starting under any scenario.
Yeah, it happens that the West is loaded at guard.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic, who everybody just assumed to be a starter for the rest of his career, didn't make it either.
And was behind Devin Booker in the media rank and the fan rank.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
Player rank.
Okay, yeah.
Me.
Those are the rankings. When you look at those elements of the rankings, there are a lot more moored to reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's what I find interesting on the Andrew Wiggins thing. First time starter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's the one that stands out as the sore thumb. Like, really?
Yeah, he does.
And it gets connected to Golden State. We get it. But the Golden State fan base voted more for Andrew Wiggins than they did Draymond Green. Draymond Green, who's been a central part of the Warriors' success over the years and has had, you know, coaches around the league laud him for MVP candidacy this year. I know he's been injured, but the Warriors' own fan base didn't vote as much for Draymond as they did for Andrew Wiggins. That's curious to me.
Well, I don't know how much you've dug into this, but SF Gate, the website newspaper covering San Francisco Cisco sports, they found out that a Korean pop star, a K-pop star, who was working for the Warriors, has 15 million Instagram followers. He juiced the voting for Andrew Wiggins. He gave a personal endorsement of Andrew Wiggins. Let's get the vote out for Andrew Wiggins. He's got 15 million Instagram followers. A K-pop star.
Okay, well, how many does... Which one is it? Kendall Jenner?
Yeah, Kendall Jenner.
She probably has that many.
Oh.
31.9 million followers.
Right.
And she did it for Devin, but it didn't really bump his numbers that much.
But once. Are you saying she didn't put enough effort?
Maybe.
She should have been doing commercials.
Yeah.
YouTube ads that pop up when you're trying
to watch.
Well,
that's what's wrong with the system. We're talking about K-pop stars and Instagram people.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But Jared's point is, who cares if this game is all about the fans? But it isn't just all about the fans. Like I said, there are bonuses attached. There's pride attached. Well, there's vanity attached. There's all these things that sort of get attached to players.
And the answer to who cares, in a way, is that why don't the Suns have more fans? Why doesn't Devin Booker have more fans? Like, okay, you can make the case the Warriors are the biggest thing in the world. The fact that Ja Morant got voted in, and deserving or not deserving, but the fact that he got voted in instead of the best players on the best team that was in the finals last year is interesting.
We already talked about that, though.
And you know what?
Style of play has a lot to do with it.
Devin Booker can blame his own owner for that, for never surrounding him with the right people to create the right team that allowed him to have success. Because by sinking Devin Booker on a team that struggled to win 30 games in a season, it created a lot of people. Oh, he's a stat gatherer. Oh, he doesn't win. Why can't he put a team on his back? Oh, really? He's playing with 4 17-year-olds who are all clueless.
If you want to know what those inaccurate narratives are, just follow any Utah Jazz fan, because they all have really strong opinions on Devin Booker.
Here we go.
It's amazing. I was doing it again yesterday.
Here we go.
It's a frustrating rabbit hole. I will say this. My reaction to Booker or Chris Paul not being a starter, very lukewarm today. If the reserves are announced next week and neither one of those guys is involved in the All-Star proceedings,
they better be reserves.
Both of them have to be there.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, you can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620 right now. Big question concerning the Arizona Coyotes and their future. Where are they going to play next year? There seems to be some developments that have garnered some reaction. We'll get into it next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Friday edition, Bickley and Marotta Mornings, live from the Octane Community Studios. Dan Bickley, Vince Marotta, Sarah Cazell, Jarek Carlin, taking you up until 10 o'clock today, getting you ready for championship weekend. But there is... There's a hockey issue to talk about.
All right.
We're all still wondering. I think the Arizona Coyotes themselves are wondering. The NHL is wondering. What's going to happen with this team in terms of location? Where will their home games actually occur next season? We know about the divorce with the city of Glendale and Gila River Arena, and it looks like Glendale is going to dig their heels in and evict the Coyotes at the end of this year. So yesterday, Craig Morgan... our former colleague, he's covered the Coyotes and hockey for a long time from PHNX Sports. He put it out there that the Coyotes are working towards an agreement with Arizona State University for a shared use of their new multipurpose facility, which is going to open this fall on campus in Tempe. Craig Morgan also had the statement from Coyotes, from ASU CFO Morgan R. Olson. Quote, if an agreement for use of our multipurpose arena is finalized, we would be glad to help the Coyotes by providing a temporary home while their new arena is built just a couple miles away. Our new multipurpose arena would also benefit from the addition of NHL-level enhancements paid for by the Coyotes that would remain with our building. We are beyond excited to open this wonderful new ASU arena. This agreement would just make it even more special.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, there's a lot of upside for ASU in this, obviously. Their hockey team would now be rubbing shoulders with professional hockey players. There would be upgrades provided by the Coyotes. There would be rent coming from the Coyotes. This is a big win.
Though?
What's that?
What there, though?
Jeez.
I'm sorry, I had to.
Eventually.
I'm done.
She's
extra ruthless.
Sarah the Ruthless. Yeah, would they really, though? They'd be promising to pay you that rent. Okay, there is that. So you might have to hire a good bill collector, I guess is what you're saying here. For ASU, this really works out very well, I believe. I think for ASU, this works out very well because this arena is going to be new. It's going to be intimate. It will not be dilapidated, like, with all due respect to Veterans Memorial Coliseum. But I've been there recently for a concert, and that...
Which was even a few years ago, correct?
That was a few years ago. Yeah. And that place is really beginning to show its age. So to me, this is not a bad option. It's just really going to be what Gary Bettman, the NHL, and the rest of the owners think about this. Are they willing to lower, there's not a ton of fan revenue coming from the Coyotes to begin with. But you know what I'm saying? You don't want one of your professional hockey franchises playing in a substandard facility by NHL standards. It's a bad look. It's bad for business. The other owners don't like it one bit. And if there's an offer, a real live offer, and a real live rink in Houston, Texas, then they might have hard decisions about this.
That's the question around the league. Mm-hmm. One of the questions. There's a lot. And I agree with you. This would be a good situation for ASU, obviously. How good would it be for the Coyotes? I'm not trying to cast stones or take shots at anybody, but an NHL team playing in a market where it's been for a quarter century, playing in a 5,000-seat arena, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's a little bit of a bad look. And
yes, it is.
That statement from the CFO of ASU also considers, hey, if it's a temporary situation while their new arena is being built, we don't know that that's going to happen right now.
Yeah.
Some of the reaction around the league in response to a hockey writer's tweet about this, Brad Marchand of the Boston Bruins, who's in town for the Bruins tonight to take on the Coyotes. He tweeted, well, the only way they get 5,000 fans at their games now is if they give 4,500 away for free, so it wouldn't change that much. Around the league, when you have markets in Canada and other American markets who are jonesing to get a hockey team, and you consider the recent relocation history of the NHL, there's a lot of people in Atlanta and Hartford, Connecticut, and Quebec and cities like that that are asking the question, why is Gary Bettman so hell-bent on keeping this team in Arizona when he did nothing to help those franchises that relocated? And I don't have an answer for it.
Yeah.
If you're a hockey fan in the desert, you owe a big thank you to Gary Bettman for keeping this team here.
Oh, yeah.
But outside of Arizona, it doesn't make a lot of sense
to a lot of people. It's one of the greatest lines ever. Phoenix, Arizona is the only hockey market to cheer for Gary Bettman and boo Wayne Gretzky. And we have reasons for both.
Yes.
Yeah, so that to me really becomes the thing here. Whether or not you believe the attendance figures, the Coyotes average close to 11,600 fans per game. Now, is that every night? No, it's not every night. So what Brad Marchand is saying has the ring of truth to it. It's upset some Coyote fans, but this is what NHL players think of this market. And as Vinny pointed out, people in Canada think it's absurd that the NHL is still here. Absurd. And here we go now. Effectually, what will change this game, I think, the only thing that would get momentum for the Coyotes in this is if they get this referendum passed, approved, and stamped,
yes,
and get shovels in the ground.
Absolutely. And then it becomes, you know, the hockey equivalent to what the San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers went through.
Mm-hmm.
When they left San Diego, they played in a temporary home, a soccer stadium in Carson for 3 years. It had capacity of about 20,000. Couldn't find a Chargers fan there to save your life during those 3 years.
No, he couldn't.
But now, you know, there was a permanent solution on the horizon, and that is SoFi Stadium. And, you know, at least the Chargers now are in a permanent home, and they're working towards building a fan base in Los Angeles. But that's a big hurdle to cross. Coyote spokesperson put this out yesterday, quote, "As we have said many times, we're completely committed to building our future in Arizona. As part of that process, we are excited to be exploring some great temporary arena options here before we move into a new permanent home in the Valley." So if it's not this ASU solution, what is it? Ogambo put out there yesterday, people are talking about Chase Field. All kinds of logistical issues there.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's already events scheduled. It's outdoor. You know, I mean, they could make it indoor, but it's just cavernous.
It's exactly.
It's cavernous for baseball. You brought up Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. It could be ready to go. Not going to be any frilly stuff. I mean, it's an old building that has kind of gone uncared for a long time.
This actually seems like a great scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Take away the actual number 5,000. Okay, first of all, it could create like an in-demand for the tickets and an experience where you get the actual hardcore fans filling up the arena, 5,000. Let's say there's 5,000 hardcore
sure.
fans every game now, but it's 5,000 out of 11,000 or 5,000 out of whatever. And if it's going to be at ASU, there's the possibility that maybe you're going to start building this young fan base. What do you want to do tonight? Yeah, want to walk over to go to the game?
Well, I mean, those two things are kind of in conflict with each other. If it's 5,000 people and the hardcore fans are going to snap up the tickets, there's not a whole lot of opportunity for college kids to walk in day of game.
Well, one or the other could happen then. How about that?
One or the other could happen.
And both are pretty good.
Wow, you're optimistic this morning, Jared.
Yeah, that is sometimes your Pollyanna mentality is just astounding.
I'm just trying to think of how like it could work.
The college kids I know at ASU aren't sitting around going, "What should we do tonight? Oh, let's go to a hockey. We're so bored. Let's go to a hockey
game."
Hey,
the Carolina Hurricanes are playing tonight.
I think you
the college kids that I'm aware of, their social calendar's pretty filled up.
Well, okay, but consider this. Shotgun 10 beers and then go to the Coyotes game. That is something I would do.
More apt to do that and then go to the ASU hockey game in the same building on a different night.
That's true. That too.
That is true.
Mercy.
I don't know.
Daly in a statement said, quote, "While we have arena standards, we would approach the entire situation in a way intended to accommodate the club's needs in effectuating a successful transition to a new venue. While there may very well be some, I can't think of any hard and fast rules that couldn't be relaxed to accommodate what is necessary."
Translation, the statement may have read, "Look, whatever the Coyotes do, we're going to support it."
Yeah, kind of.
ain't moving them.
Right. They're going nowhere.
Stop asking.
Right. I don't see any rules that couldn't be relaxed.
I know. How about that, right? So, but again, I think the NHL is all about this blueprint that the Coyotes have. I think they're down with that. It's just a matter of actually getting a shovel in the ground and making that happen. Because you got to get the clock ticking on that. Wow.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's almost February of 2022. Next hockey season begins in September of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And this franchise doesn't know where it's going to play.
And again, I understand what they're doing now. They're bringing in the rodeo. Do you know that? That the rodeo is going to be a staple tenant in Glendale?
Oh, good. No. That brings people in.
Oh, it sure does.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Man, there's so many questions that need to be answered. Coming up next on this Friday edition, the coaching cycle continues to spin. Doesn't look like it'll include an exit for an Arizona Cardinals defensive coordinator, at least not to where we thought he was going. We'll get into that and more next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Murata. Presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
Now, the Miami Dolphins are narrowing their search. They have three candidates, I'm told, they're expected to do second interviews with. One is Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, who has been sort of a sleeper here all along and now gets a second interview. It would be interesting to see him with Tua Tagovailoa, who is their quarterback for the 2022 season. Mike McDaniel, the 49ers offensive coordinator, is another one. Had a short interview with the Dolphins, but I know they were intrigued by him. That is another one to keep an eye on. And then Brian Daboll, who most people think is probably the favorite there, especially because he had Tua in college and it's close with owner Stephen Ross. Those are the three, I'm told, getting second interviews next week. This also might allow them to keep the defensive side of the ball, and it was one of the best units in the NFL during the second half of the season.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, yesterday on the update on the Miami Dolphins head coaching situation, and you might notice that list of finalists or candidates getting second interviews did not include Cardinals defensive coordinator Vance Joseph.
Yeah, how about that? So a lot of that reporting was premature in terms of him being the front runner for that vacancy.
True.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to me the way some of these dominoes are falling. Here's the other thing that I think is interesting, too. I heard Wolf and Luke talk about the salary cap hell the New Orleans Saints are in. How many millions and millions they are over the cap.
Mm-hmm.
How is Sean Payton getting away with just bailing on a team that he's under contract for? Why is no one holding him accountable for quitting on a bad situation? If he comes back this year, and some people think he will, why does he just get to cherry-pick his way out of a job? Is it because his GM is dead? I thought Sean Payton was deeply involved in everything in an organization.
Well, when you're with an organization for 15 years, obviously you have a ton of influence.
Right.
Coaches don't get to that
point. So if they're $70 million over the cap and they have no quarterback at the same time, you can't win there, and he realizes that. And
I think
so
it's a smart move.
Well, so do I. But why are people just cool with that? Isn't that just quitting on a franchise? It's the Saints. That's why nobody cares.
And he brought him a Super Bowl.
That's
which is,
that too.
You know, one of the, I mean, before he got there, not exactly the most winning history in New Orleans. But, yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. I would guess that there are some Saints fans that are pretty upset about that right about now. Kind of like Pete Carroll in USC. Hey, we won a bunch of games, but now we're in big trouble, so
right,
see ya.
So see you later. That's exactly right. That's
I might coach again.
Now, if it's really true that the GM in New Orleans called Sean Payton into a meeting and said, hey, Sean, I got bad news for you, man. You know that wish list you gave me? I can't do any of it. In fact, we've got to get rid of players. We're $77 million over the cap. And if Sean Payton went, what? I had no idea. Then there would be grounds for the owner to go, you know what? You have been a great ambassador for us. We understand the situation now. This is going to get ugly here for the next few years. Peace out. Have fun. Thanks for everything. Here's an apple. Here's a roadmap. Be on your way. Right? But that's not Sean Payton. Sean Payton was behind those contracts for Taysom Hill. And so he's just skating out of that situation. To me, I just find it fascinating. Now, if he sits out a year, I'm not going to have an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he jumps back into the mix now, then again, I'm not sure there's any jobs out there worth jumping into right now.
No, and the Dallas thing looks like it's been settled. That Mike McCarthy has been told, hey, you're coming back for another year. And we talked about that when Sean Payton peaced out of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, they'll probably give McCarthy another shot. And, you know, if Payton does want to sit out a year and kind of consider his options or get his head straight,
mm-hmm.
that could be a situation where Jerry Jones could put the full court press on. One of the other hires that's already been made, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator of the Packers, getting hired as the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. And there's the obvious connection.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
There was rumors about Aaron Rodgers going to Denver last year. So we can connect the dots again. Adam Schefter talked about that on ESPN, their NFL insider, that, hey, Hackett might be able to attract Aaron Rodgers to Denver, but that's not why they brought him in.
I think they hired Nathaniel Hackett because they wanted Nathaniel Hackett. And Aaron Rodgers still, as he said, has to figure out what he wants to do. And there will be teams that approach the Green Bay Packers that try to trade for Aaron Rodgers. And based on the conversations that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have, the Packers will have to take their cue from there. But there's nothing that's happened with Denver and Green Bay yet. The Broncos made a run at trying to get Aaron Rodgers before the draft last year, were quickly rebuffed. We're told there was no way that Green Bay was trading him at that time. And now we'll see what this offseason brings. But I think that Denver now feels like it'll have one more element that makes Denver even more attractive if Aaron Rodgers does want to get traded. But again, that's not why they hired him.
Well, okay, again, keep in mind, Adam Schefter is going to say whatever an agent tells him to say. I think he's made that very, very clear. He's very good at
his job. Or whatever Aaron Rodgers tells him.
So I every time I hear Adam Schefter report on something now, I filter it just a little bit differently.
Okay.
And I think that's fair. So I think there's if you're Aaron Rodgers, you do not want to make it seem like this has all been in the works. You're going to want to play this out as in... he'd want this to play out a little differently than to have that be the way he gets out of Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Then, this was all set up in advance. The Broncos hired this guy. And so they're going to downplay that now. But these rumors have really caught fire. And you remember last year when this went down, Mark Schlereth got information that the Broncos were making a push to trade for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers wasn't even aware of it. He called Mark Schlereth and said, "What are you hearing here?" And so the Packers or the Broncos, I think they've got an understanding of what it's going to take to get this deal done.
Yeah. The other interesting thing is there were reports yesterday, and we cited Mike Jarecki from azcardinals.com, and he put it out there on Twitter. Not the only one. There was other reports coming out of Jacksonville saying that the Jaguars were close to hiring Byron Leftwich, the OC for Tampa Bay, in a package deal, and Adrian Wilson from the Cardinals front office as their new GM. Trent Baalke still has the GM position in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Despite their fan base all wanting him gone, they moved on from Urban Meyer, obviously. So I think the sticking point there is Byron Leftwich has made it known to Shad Khan and the ownership of the Jaguars, hey, I'll take the job, but I want my guy as the GM. Well, I don't want to work with Trent Baalke.
I think you're right on the money about that. I think you remember Trent Baalke back when he was with San Francisco. He won that battle with Jim Harbaugh. He got the York family to side with him.
Uh-huh.
So he's really good at endearing himself to his bosses. And
that guy.
That
we all know that guy.
We know that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy. And so Byron Leftwich is, I think, very shrewdly not jumping at the opportunity if he doesn't trust the guy above him.
True, because, I mean, you got the quarterback to work with, but there's a lot of heavy lifting that needs to be done there. And he's got, you know, vested interest in that organization, having played there and been an important figure in their history and one of their more successful quarterbacks.
Well, also, let's suppose Bruce Arians doesn't come back.
Well,
is he the heir apparent there for that job?
I think that, you know, immediately, yes. But, I mean, B.A. has said he's coming back.
Yeah. And you would elevate Byron Leftwich over Todd Bowles if they're both there? What would you do with that? I'll tell you what, though. Trent Baalke might determine whether or not Tom Brady's back next year. Because if Byron Leftwich doesn't take this gig or a gig, Tom Brady probably comes back. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Good point. Lots of spinning plates still in the coaching cycle.
One last thing. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. Have you heard of these growing rumors that the Vikings and the Browns are going to swap quarterbacks?
What? Cousins and Mayfield?
Cousins and Mayfield, yes. Kevin Stefanski is the head coach in Cleveland. He used to be the offensive coordinator in Minnesota, and the Vikings just hired a Browns guy to be their new GM. There are these rumors that they're going to swap Baker Mayfield for Kirk Cousins.
It's interesting, but then I just immediately get to, if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody around, does it make a noise?
Yeah. Yeah. Baker Mayfield makes a lot of noise wherever he lands.
That's true.
Yes.
And that noise will still lead to 7-10 for both teams if it does happen.
Ooh.
Coming up next, the Arizona Cardinals. They named their in-house award winners for the 2021 season. Did they get them right? Did they need to hand them out at all? We'll react to it and give our thoughts next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.